From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
I'll watch hockey for sure. It's I'm really enjoying this. It's fun to be a part of where these games matter, and you can watch the games and care about the results because they matter. It's a fun thing to do, and it's good to take a rest. But as far as routine goes, just stay with the same thing. It's just a couple extra days of practice. It's a good chance. It's pretty rare. I can't think of a time that you get 4 days off usually at this time in the year. So, it's a good chance for us to use it and get ready for a strong push here in these last six.
Yes, but will he lose his edge? That's Devin Dubnyk. He hasn't had 4 days off or four nights off in a row. He needs to stay sharp. What's amazing about this? Well, there's a lot of things amazing about it, but one thing amazing about this Wild team, back in January, it would take an epic rally for them to get into the playoff chase. Well, they've done that, and now it would take an epic collapse for them not to make the postseason. I don't think any of us anticipate that happening. I mean, they've still got a 5-point lead on Winnipeg, and Los Angeles has won or lost two in a row. It looks like the Kings are not going to be back in. They're three behind Calgary for the third spot. They got a shot maybe at Winnipeg, but you got a 5-point lead if you're the Wild. You got to feel really good about yourself. 5-point lead over Winnipeg for the first wild card spot, and you basically got a 7-point lead on LA with six games to go. They're in real good shape. This, by the way, separate bit of news. This is the biggest news of the day, potentially. Did you see about Tony Romo?
Yeah.
Restructured his contract. Cowboys quarterback will save the Cowboys $13 million in salary cap space. Coincidentally, that's in that range of what Adrian Peterson would cost the team in salary cap space. And if he went to the Cowboys, there would be no way he'd come under that contract. It would be renegotiated. They would get the cap number down. I think this opens it up all over again, the talk of Adrian Peterson going to the Cowboys. I think the likelihood becomes a lot stronger now that that's going to happen. Suddenly, they come up with the $13 million. They may have, and when they, I mean the Cowboys, this could be a Jerry Jones' father, Steve Jones' son deal, where they were waiting on this to do it now. Maybe get the Vikings a little jittery to want to make a deal.
It opens up a lot of speculation, seeing as how the $13 million and a salary $12.75.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not out of the running like they said they were 2 weeks ago.
I think they absolutely are back in the running, and I think they've known this all along, and I think this plays into why AP and that agent of his, Ben Dagra, have been pushing, we want out of Minnesota. Or, excuse me, AP never said it. AP said his wife didn't want to come back, and Dagra said that, I think he might have said, we don't want to go back to Minnesota, like Dagra was going to come with him. That wasn't about to happen. We, by the way, me and Hellboy here, we have a, as Ed Sullivan would say, really big shoe for you. We've got Gopher softball coach Jessica Allister. They've won. They're 29-5. We talked to her. We got Larry Fitzgerald Sr. Larry's going to join us. His son, Larry Fitzgerald Jr., a superstar in the NFL. He's going to be coming back next Friday for an event to raise money in honor of his mother and Larry Fitzgerald Sr.'s wife, who died several years ago from cancer. And Larry Fitzgerald Sr. will join us. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about AP. If anyone knows in the media what's going to happen with AP, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is as wired as anyone. Because he's got a son in the media, and B, he knows all these players and talks to them a lot. Pete Wagner and Al Newman will join us, talk some baseball with them. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. John Tower is going to stop by, coach at St. Thomas, psychology coach at St. Thomas. We'll be joined by them. Our first guest, though, is going to be, well, she's going to be joining us momentarily. Her son, her youngest son, won a state championship several weeks ago, Trey Jones with Apple Valley. Her next, well, I guess it would be, I will have to ask for sure. I think Tyus is the middle child or the middle son. He's on his way to the Final Four. Let's go to Debbie Jones, who's had a very busy few weeks. Debbie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And you, are you tired, Debbie?
I've picked up a little cold, so I apologize with my voice, but, you know, I am just fine.
Well, I would be surprised. We talked briefly yesterday. I'm surprised you have a voice. I mean, you must be, you've had to have been yelling for the last month solid between Trey making the march to the state championship with Apple Valley and then Tyus every weekend you're at the NCAA games. How do you have a voice?
I'm not quite sure how I have a voice, but, you know, it's sure been a lot of fun yelling for them. You just kind of go on.
It's got to be a real thrill. Now, I wanted to be clear. I know Trey is your youngest son, right?
Correct.
And is Tyus your middle son? Because you have an older son, too, don't you?
Correct, yep. Tyus is the middle, and JD is the oldest.
That's right, because Tyus talked to us about JD when we've had him on 105 The Ticket before. Now, this must be a thrill for JD, too.
Right. He, you know, he's trained both Tyus and Trey, so it's very fun for him to, you know, see the development and share in, you know, the process and see how things have come along. It's just been a whole lot of fun.
Was he a point guard also?
He was. Well, he was, but he was more of a shooting guard.
Well, that's come in handy, too, and both of your sons can shoot the ball, too.
Yeah, Tatey could really, you know, really shoot it, so... he was one of the two, and then, you know, Tyus can shoot it as well, but, you know, Tyus kind of does, you know, point guard and controls everything, so a little bit different.
Now, talking to Debbie Jones, Trey Jones and Tyus Jones, her sons, how much fun was it? Let's talk about Trey first. How much fun was it for you to see him step out from under Tyus's shadow? Tyus had the shadow over that entire team the last few years, but to have a chance to really show what kind of game he has, which is exceptional.
Right. Yeah. It was really fun to see Trey. You know, he really developed all year long and really kind of came on, you know, tournament time, you know, state tournament time. And so it was just really fun to see him, you know, develop and kind of do his thing too. You know, everybody, you know, compares them obviously. And, you know, he is just fine with that, but it just really is fun and enjoyable to see him kind of do his own thing.
Is Trey, somebody has said that Trey may wind up when he's done in high school bigger than Tyus. Is he the same height now, or where is he in terms of height?
He is probably about 6'2 right now. Tyus is about 6'1, and you know, Trey is very long. He could potentially get, you know, maybe a couple more inches, so I do anticipate him being the biggest one.
And he wants to play the point, too, right? It's not just because his brother did it. He's real good at it.
Yes, he is. He does want to play the point, and he is very good at it.
Now, were you a basketball player when you were younger, too?
Yep, I did play my share in high school and some in college. And, you know, we always kind of talk and joke because, you know, I got a state championship when I was in high school. My sister got 2 state championships. So when Tyus got, you know, my oldest son played in the state championship game, they got beat in the state championship game when he was in high school, and then Tyus got one, and now Trey's got one and got a couple of years to get another one to, you know, surpass my sister.
Where did you go to school, Debbie? What high school was it?
I'm from North Dakota, so I went to school at Devil's Lake Central High School.
Okay. Now, at what age was Trey and also Tyus when you no longer can beat him in, like, horse?
Oh, jeez. Well, if they were in the room with me now, I would tell them that they couldn't beat me in horse today. But
so they got the shooting eye from you.
I don't really recall, you know, a time. You know, it was a long time ago. But we still, you know, when we go places and are in the gym, we still have those little competitions. But, you know, I'm kind of past that time, unfortunately. So they've been able to beat me for a while.
Well, it must be neat, though, that this is, I mean, a lot of, you know, some parents go bowling with their kids. You know,
right.
or play golf. You're still playing basketball with them, and you're talking about two kids at a very high level.
Yeah. My level of playing is really just shooting at this point. But you know, we do all those things as well. You know, all the other things as well. So, you know, it's we just have a whole lot of fun when, you know, whatever we're doing.
And we're talking to Debbie Jones, Tyus Jones, and Trey Jones, and JD Jones, her sons. Now, how big of a group will go to Indianapolis to watch the game against Michigan State? And then, see, I have Duke winning it all over Kentucky. I'm guessing your bracket has Duke winning, too, if you did a bracket.
Well, you know, we do a bracket within our house. That's about it, you know, just kind of, you know, to share
fun
with
yep.
each other. But, yeah, I think, you know, we all have Duke winning. So, you know, that's how it is this year. But we do, you know, it'll be myself and Trey going. My mother will go with my sister Darcy and her husband Greg, and JD, his wife, and two kids. So we kind of have a pretty big crew going. And we're going to head out tomorrow, and we're going to drive it this time instead of fly. So
that'll take you about, 10 hours?
Yeah, probably between 9 and 10, yeah. I would say.
But what a great thing for, I mean, as a family to do something like this and have. And the reason I wanted to talk to you, it's really an amazing ride that you and your family have been on since, it's got to be, let's see, when would have Apple Valley have started? About a month and a half ago? They must have started with sectionals.
Yeah, I think the first round of sectionals was like February, that last Wednesday of February 27th or something like that.
So during the week then, but every weekend you've been at either one of their games. And fortunately, they didn't overlap the tournaments.
They did just the one time.
The ACC?
The day, just not so much in time. Tyus, I think, played at 6 and Trey played at 8 on the same night. And unfortunately, that was the ACC tournament where, we lost. So otherwise, they both would have played the same time on that Saturday. So,
Debbie, how did you follow? Is there a Duke network that you can get from Minnesota? I mean, were you able to watch all the games?
They all either were on, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN. They were all on a TV station that we have. So,
well, it happens. It helps when you've got one of the best programs in the country. They're going to want to put your games on.
Yeah, so it was very nice that we were able, when we weren't able to be there to, watch it on TV.
Now, when you walk into a gym now, going to Indianapolis and when you've gone, how much attention does trade draw from these, people from other schools or coaches? I mean, because they almost be looking at him and saying, geez, he's even taller than Tyus, and he's a point guard, too.
Right. Well, and, with the NCAA rules, they can't do any contacting of him directly. It's got to be through.
So it's coming through. You're hearing a lot then.
Yeah, but through the school and stuff like that. But, when we do go places, people know now that he's won a state title. So they will compliment him or address him like that, which is really fun for him. And, it'll be interesting when he gets, starts on the AAU circuit. He actually misses his first tournament this weekend because we'll be gone. But once he gets back and, gets on the circuit and stuff, it'll be interesting to see, him continue to develop with that and start getting more and more attention.
How long is he? Did he play AAU last year, or is this his first year at it? I don't know how old they are when they start.
He's been playing AAU, but he did play with Howard Pulley last year.
Okay.
He had an injury during the season last year and then, broke his collarbone and, re-injured it. So he was out for, a good majority of the time. But, when he came back, he came back strong and had a good finish.
Well, Debbie, it's just got to be a great time for you and your family, and enjoy it. Obviously, enjoy it this weekend. And actually, I'm going to be talking to you for something I'm going to be doing for the Pioneer Press also later tonight. So I look forward to that. And I enjoy what a great run you've been able to have with your family, and a great time it must be.
Yeah, it's truly a blessing, and so much fun, and we are truly enjoying every moment. And look forward to a fun weekend.
Well, Debbie, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later. Debbie Jones, her son Tyus playing in the Final Four this weekend. Her youngest son Trey won a state title with Apple Valley. This is it's great to talk to you, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you, love. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Gopher softball coach Jessica Allister. This woman's got a hell of a team. Now, how about these numbers? 29-5. They have not yet played a home game, play their first home game this week because of the weather. When you're in Minnesota, you're not playing home softball games until April. But, I mean, they're 29-5 on the road for 34 games.
That'd be pretty good for any team.
That's not too shabby. Anyway, you're going to hear from Jessica when we return.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Paul Molitor is not looking to skip the fifth rotation spot.
You don't really need that guy if you keep, say, Phil Hughes on every fifth day turn. And he said he's not tempted to do that. He likes what he's seen out of the fifth spot.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutraDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're joined by Jessica Allister, the coach of the Gophers women's softball team, a team that is 29-5, 5-1 in the Big Ten, and has yet to play a home game. All those wins have come away from home. And Jessica, you got a home game this weekend. You got to be excited to play at home.
We can't wait to get in front of our home fans, play in our stadium. We love to compete at any time, but be able to compete in front of our fans it's special.
Well, I would think you're 14-1 on the road, 15-4 at neutral sites. You really have some pressure to go undefeated at home because you're kicking butt on the road.
I don't know about that. You know, we're just going to try to show up every day and play good softball.
Now, how many pitchers are you going with?
We have 4 pitchers on staff, and there's a chance that all will see some innings this weekend. You know, we've used Sarah Groenewegen, Nikki Anderson, and Kylie Stober a fair amount. You know, Sarah Groenewegen obviously is putting together a tremendous year. She was Big Ten Pitcher of the Year last year, Freshman of the Year. You know, she had a great season last year, too. And then Kylie Stober and Nikki Anderson in the last couple of weeks have really put together some good outings. So pitching staff is shaping up, and it's going to be an important piece of what we do this weekend.
Now, do some teams go the entire season with one pitcher?
No.
Or you can't, right?
No.
Because you can play up to, what, 56 games?
Yeah, we schedule 56 games. Pitching... It's pitching dominant, and it used to be a lot more where you'd throw the same pitcher over and over. Offenses are getting so good, and scouting's getting so good that that's not really realistic any longer. So you better have a good staff.
Well, when you and talking to Jessica Allister, the coach of the Gopher women's softball team, as part of our Gopher segment on Wednesdays, Jessica, when you scout to find recruits, do you try to have make sure you got a senior or junior pitcher, then a sophomore and a freshman? Do you want to keep you don't want all freshmen or all seniors, because then they're all growing together and you got nothing maybe. I mean, how do you do that? Do you always look for a pitcher, or do you look certain years you're really looking for a pitcher?
You're always looking for pitching. Pitching's the name of the game, and you got to have pitching. So we are absolutely always looking for pitching. You know, in a perfect world, I think we'd bring one in every year. That being said, we got to bring in people that we think can compete at this level and help us. So we're not going to bring in a pitcher just to bring in a pitcher if we don't think that she can help us compete for a Big Ten championship and a national title. So, we don't have anyone coming in next year's class, and then we might have a couple more after that. You know, we're not sure. So ideally, yes, it's going to be one a year, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Any of your pitchers play other positions when they're not pitching?
Mm-hmm. Sarah Groenewegen, actually, she played a lot of first base for us last year. This year, she's not playing as much first base, but she does. She hits, so she DHs when she's not thrown.
Now, Sarah was the subject of a Pioneer Press piece, I believe.
I think they're working on it. I don't know if it's been released.
I think it's online.
Oh, I should.
And she deals with it, which is a great testament to her, and lets people know who maybe have just been diagnosed. She has type 1 diabetes, right?
She does.
That's a heck of an. I mean, she's really showing that it doesn't matter. You can overcome, and have a normal life with diabetes.
Yeah.
She's having a great year for you, too, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest compliment to her is that it's not even a thing. You know, you don't know it. You know, she takes care of herself. She comes to practice. She practices. It's a non-issue because she takes care of herself. And, it's amazing.
Now, on your team, are you senior dominated, or are you going to be a juggernaut for years to come, much like the Gopher women's hockey team?
Aren't they amazing?
It's incredible. Yeah.
It's absolutely unbelievable. We've got a lot of seniors right now. We got a lot of underclassmen too, but we've got 7 seniors on the roster, and they're doing some good things for us. You know, Katie Richardson and Tyler Walker have just had tremendous careers all the way through, been staples in the 1 spot and the 3 spot for us in the lineups. And then we've had some other seniors who are really stepping up and having the best years that they've had, and Erica Meyer and Hannah Granger. And, we have some people doing some good things.
Now, Jessica, I've just finished reading a book about Billy Martin, which, by the way, if you haven't read, it's a terrific book. We're going to have the author on in a couple of weeks, Bill Pennington. Do you, like Billy Martin, do you do the hidden ball trick? I mean, do you do anything on the, when you're on the field to try to take some kind of, or would the other coaches frown upon that?
We don't do any hidden ball tricks. No, we're...
Triple steals?
We're not that fun. No, we're absolutely
not. No triple steals?
No triple steals.
Double steals.
We'll go for a double steal on occasion, but no hidden ball tricks.
How long, and you, I know you do scouting of other teams, but are there teams, what's the most you've run in a game? That you've, because some of these catchers must be terrific, but in all levels, some of them aren't that good. I mean, how many of your runs are manufactured by small ball?
You know, I think that's year to year and team to team. Right? This year, we can really hit. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to give away outs on the bases and take the bats out of our hitters' hands, because I think we can really hit. So we'll run a little bit situationally. We'll run when we think we're going to get different pitches, if we're going to get pitches in the dirt, if we're going to get change-ups, kind of in those situations. But the last thing I want to do is take the bat out of my hitter's hands.
All right, 34 games in, what's your best batting average?
Oh, I have no idea. I think
four something?
Yeah, I think Hannah Granger and Katie Richardson, I believe, are both over 400. Jake would know a little bit more than I do, but...
That's your SID. Now, do you put anybody in the lineup who's much below three? Because they all have, I'm sure, their batting averages are three and above.
We're pretty close to the whole starting lineup being above three, and then we actually have a couple... we got a couple pinch hitters coming off the... off the bench, or people that are going to start in spot situations that are above 3-2. So we've got a good offensive team.
Talking to Jessica Allister, the coach of the Gopher women's softball team. Now, Jessica, if they're batting 4-something, you got to have women on your team whose on-base percentage is over 5.
You know, again, I don't know. Absolutely, I hope so.
Well, you're 29-5. You're getting them on base and you're getting them in.
Absolutely. We're scoring a lot of runs.
Now, how do you know right now, and again, you've only played 6 in the Big Ten, 5-1 in the Big Ten, how you stack up? Are you the team to beat in the Big Ten?
Well, we're going to find out.
Don't be modest. Be cocky.
We're going to find out how we stack up this weekend. We got Michigan coming into town. I think they're in the top 5 in the country, maybe 3 or 4. I don't know. The polls just came out.
Where are you ranked?
I think we're maybe 14.
It's an outrage.
Yeah.
You need to write to somebody.
So we got a big weekend this weekend at home. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a good weekend.
Now, what is the is your team, everybody has the goal of winning a national championship.
Absolutely.
Some teams are just saying that, but there's no shot. You have a legitimate shot. I mean, your team, you have a team that can legitimately contend for that.
You know what we talk about is winning a Big Ten championship. Our goal every year is to win a Big Ten championship. And if you look at where the best teams in the Big Ten have competed at the end of the year, if we're at the top of the Big Ten, we're competing for a national title. So our goal and our focus every year is to win a Big Ten championship. And then once you get in the postseason, I mean, you got to get good matchups. You got to be playing well at the right time. There's so many things that have to happen. But our goal is to win a Big Ten championship.
How many teams do they advance for the NCAA? Because obviously you're an automatic bid if you win the Big Ten.
Right, it's 64.
Oh, so it's like the NCAA.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty good. So this is your fifth year?
This is fifth year, yep.
Now, how many NCAAs have you had?
The last two seasons we've been in NCAAs.
So does that put added pressure on you have to make it this year?
No, I don't think so. You know, we just
I'll ask Norwood about that.
Right.
You're 18. No, I'm kidding. Now, how much is, let me ask this, from a personal standpoint or just from a competitive standpoint, for you and the other coaches, men and women teams, how much pressure does what the Gopher women's hockey team put on you, if at all? Because everyone wants to be at the top at their school. I mean, what Brad Frost has done is incredible. I mean, but is it sort of a competitive thing among all of you coaches?
No, I don't think so. I think we support each other and we want everybody to be great. I mean, what Coach Frost has done with that program is just absolutely unbelievable. And it's so much fun to watch it. You know, we were watching the championship game on the bus driving home from, where were we driving home from? From Illinois. And it was just, I mean, our bus erupted when they won. Everybody's cheering. That's and neat. Living and dying with every play. So we just want everybody to do great.
It is very neat. Now, how many home games do you have coming up here? 34 in, 29-5, have not yet played a home game. You will this weekend. How many home games on your schedule left?
We'll play 4 home weekends of Big Ten, so that's 12, and then we'll play 2-1 home doubleheader non-conference against North Dakota State, which makes 14, and then 1 against South Dakota, so 15. We'll play 15 home games.
So then you're at least going to have 44 wins.
You're in charge
because
of that.
Well, but you, like I said, 14-1 on away, 15-4 in neutral locations. You're not going to be touched at home. It's a home field edge.
We better show up ready to play. That's all I have to say.
Tell you what, 44 wins in a 56-game season is not too shabby. Yeah, obviously, it's the weather related to, right? That's why you're on the road so much.
Yeah, and we've lost a couple games to weather this year, so we won't get to 56.
Maybe
we've lost 3, so maybe we'll get to 53, somewhere around there.
Well, Jessica, we fully expect to have you come in here after you win that national championship and Big Ten, then national championship, to do like Brad Frost did, show off the trophy with some of your players. Jessica Allister, coach of the Gopher women's softball team, really appreciate you joining us. You seem like, I'm sure you're not as much fun to your gals on the field. I'm sure they don't think you're a laugh riot, but I appreciate you taking the time with us. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break and we will return with more great stuff.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Join us at Hubert's inside Target Center today from 4 to 7 before the Wolves host the Toronto Raptors. We're sampling North Lake Sunny Brown Lager and Killebrew Root Beer and giving away tickets to the Timberwolves. Join us.
All right, so Tommy Lahone pitched 6 good innings, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to predict right here, right now, he wins a Cy Young.
It's a pretty bold statement.
No, it's April Fool. See, that's a... That could count as a bad, but an April Fool's joke. That's
like
not
it.
Funny, but it's that's within the parameters of an April Fool's joke. This isn't. Our first D-bag of the day candidate, also dumbass of the day, Bruce Irvin. You know who he is, right? Plays he's a linebacker with the Seahawks. He, if you were to say who's the dumbest player in the NFL, he might get some votes over this. He tweets, before this hits the media, I just want to apologize to my fans and the at Seahawks organization once again. I made a terrible decision, be driving. Then he had another tweet, later tweet, finished it. After I had a few drinks, I will do everything to get your trust back and will become a better person after this. Now, would you say that a DUI is a serious thing and not something you joke about? Here's his tweet after that. How many of y'all thought I was serious? Ha ha, April Fools. There are some things you just don't joke about, Bruce. And I would say getting a DUI is right near the top of the list. Then he obviously got some flack about it, and he came back again. This was his apology. Okay, it was a joke. Didn't mean to disrespect anybody. Damn, relax. That's sort of his apology. Later said he apologized to all the 12s. That's what they call their, you know, their fans there. And yeah, his WVU fam, because he went to West Virginia. If I offended you, didn't mean to at all. So, yeah, that's pretty much all the people that matter. And then he said he's banning himself for Twitter for the rest of the day.
The whole day?
The whole day. Wasn't going to tweet anymore. But there, he took a shot at everyone else. You trolls have fun killing my mentions. I got work to do. In other words, he doesn't want to be bothered with you, you trolls. His work is more important to be done than doing that. Not only is an idiot, he's very thin-skinned, too, and stupid. You're tweeting, your joke is that you got a DWI.
It's definitely not a good joke, especially for an NFL player, when it seems like every other day
and
somebody's popping up doing something wrong.
And also, far more believable that he'd get a DUI than Tommy Malone would win the Cy Young, which was my lame attempt at an April Fool's thing toward you.
What if he just gets really good run support all year? And he has like a 3.5 ERA and he wins 30 games?
Then he has a shot, maybe. Hey, if he wins 30 games, his ERA is lower than 3.5. I'd bet that pretty good for that one. All right, here we have another candidate. Rob Gronkowski. He was Jim Rome. He's on before us, but he also has a TV show on Showtime. So he's on with Rome, and I figure this episode airs tonight. He is asked to describe the ideal spouse, and this is quoting Rob Gronkowski. She cleans, cooks, makes big cash, stays home, lets me do whatever I want. Also adding she'd be very nice, kind, and beautiful. And then he went on to say the woman he'd like and would hope that can do all those things is Margot Robbie, who was, I didn't see Wolf of Wall Street, did you?
Mm-hmm.
She's stunning, right?
Yeah.
That's who he wants to be his wife, to cook, clean, and let him do whatever he wants with. She been in anything else? I'm looking at her picture. She looks familiar, but I didn't see Wolf of Wall Street, so I don't know what else she would have been in. Anything else that comes to mind?
Nothing that's really coming to mind. I'm pretty sure she is playing one of the superheroes in a superhero movie that's coming out in the next 3 years.
3 years?
Something like that. Well, they planned it ahead of time.
3 years?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a ton of them coming out in the next 3 or 4
she
years.
She is stunning. There's no getting around that. And by the way, Rob Gronkowski could get in that qualification for, you know, one of the big, the dumbest guys in the NFL. But he does speak his mind. Let's see, she's pre-production for Suicide Squad, Funhouse, Tarzan. She plays Jane in a new, yet another Tarzan movie. Focus, that's not out yet. Z for Zachariah, I haven't seen that. The Wolf of Wall Street, About Time, I don't remember that one. She was in Pan Am, that TV show, remember that? She was in Neighbors, the TV series. I never saw that, did you?
No, I don't even know what it is.
I don't know, was that an English one? Is she from England? No, she was born in she was born in Australia. Anyway, she is a stunning woman, so, I mean, you're Rob Gronkowski, you're single. I understand you're going to want to look for what you consider the hottest woman, but I got a feeling that many of these women, as much of a, you know, of a catch Rob Gronkowski would be, are not going to buy into the whole she cleans, she cooks, makes. How do you, if you clean and you cook, when are you going to have time to make the big cash? and stay home.
Especially for her. She's got a movie career. She gets to travel around filming, having fun, making millions of dollars. Going to give that up so you can be Rob Gronkowski's wife and stay at home and do laundry? I don't think so.
I don't think that's going to be on the docket for her. And then another candidate. Well, actually, both sides, I believe, are candidates. You've got Kentucky, 38-0. They go 40-0, undefeated season. Well, there's a guy, Louisville lawyer David Sun, S-O-N. He has a company that's already selling blue and white 40-0 t-shirts, 40-0, on his website, 40andO.com. Now, he has he trademarked this in February, claiming he first sold his first item with the mark on it in October of 2013 because he had himself a 40&0 LLC, let it lapse, then renewed it again March 9th of this year. Well, he is he had these LLC reinstated. He's got it. But now Kentucky, the university, is trying to shut him down. They're not even 40-0 yet. But they are saying that they basically he has no right to it. They should have the rights to 40-0. And somebody from the university, the general counsel, is saying that we're well aware of third parties attempting to capitalize on a historic season of the University of Kentucky men's basketball team. As the university's licensing agent, we are working vigorously to protect UK's trademark rights in the marketplace from those that use the institution's indicia. Indicia, without permission. What's the big deal? He's using 40-0. I know he's putting it on their colors, trying to cash in a little bit. But first of all, before we advance one, who's the bigger D-bag here? Kentucky or this guy who has it out before they're 40-0 and did things legally? He trademarked it.
I think the guy is smart going ahead and doing that, and he knows he can probably get some kind of settlement and sell it to them.
He's an entrepreneur. So, all right, UK. We got UK. We've got Bruce Irvin, whose April Fool's Day prank was it? Tweeting out that he got a DUI and then said, ha, just kidding. And Rob Gronkowski, who his perfect mate would clean, cook, make big money, and stay home and let him do whatever he wants. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. If you're on the same page as Gronkowski, let us know. And then throw April Fool's at the end in case your girlfriend or wife is listening. And there's also one other one I want to throw in there. Do you see what ringside seats are for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight?
No.
$87,000.
Nice.
Each. Not for a pair. Each. You've got that much money to piss away?
Maybe I can split one seat with somebody and we'll just each sit with one cheek off.
I know. Big deal to be there, but what is the biggest screen you can buy? And you probably could buy, what, hundreds of them.
Yeah, you can get HD projector screens and sit back and...
You know, if you want, just go buy yourself a movie theater. You certainly could rent one for a lot less than $87,000.
Yeah.
And you bring all your friends then. So you're not there by yourself because you can't afford a second seat. The thing's probably not going to last that long. It's one of those things you see on some TV shows, the joke when they spend all the money, they sit down, one punch and it's over. And you just pissed away the $49.95 or $90, whatever it is. Do you recall what the number was on this, what it'll be for pay-per-view?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's got to be mid, like $150, easy.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
I'm in sports. You are. Somebody invites me over, I may watch. I'm not dishing it out.
No, I'll just wait and read about it.
Well, read about it and watch the highlights. Because you know that within a week, that Saturday or the next Saturday night, it'll be on HBO or Showtime. They'll have the rights to it. For those of us too cheap to buy it. I'm going to check here and see if they'll reimburse. That's part of the job, right?
What if I only watch half of it? I'll watch the second half of the fight.
Well, then you should only have to pay for half.
Perfect.
Tell them if it goes past the fifth round or sixth round, you're in. What if they have a package like... You know what? If they find out, they may sell it that way. $150 for the whole thing, $99.95 for the second half, from the sixth round on.
Sold.
You do it, even though there might not be a sixth round.
I'd still go for the back half, because I think there will be.
I'd love having a sucker like you buying into that one. All right, so let's... We recapped. Let's hear who it's going to be. Kentucky for trying to shut down the guy with the 40-0 trademark. Bruce Irvin for April fooling his tweet that he got a DUI. Rob Gronkowski, he wants a woman who can cook, clean, make money, and stay at home, and he wants it to be that Margot Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street, or the people behind the $87,000 ticket price for a seat, ringside seat for Mayweather-Pacquiao. I think it's pretty clear cut for me.
You're going Irvin?
I'm going Irvin.
I'm going to go Gronk because it reminds me of a line from Tommy Boy. He's a big dumb animal, isn't he, folks?
You know what? The thing about him, though, he hasn't done anything illegal or anything. He's just goofy as hell.
Yeah.
He's kind of, that's what's kind of endearing about him, because he's so freaking goofy. There's a goofiness to him that, and Bruce Irvin may be goofy. What he did was stupid. What Gronkowski said is stupid.
Do you want to hear something funny?
Do you have something funny?
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
One of our guys that's been on the D-bag contestant like a lot, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
We have Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart talking about what they'd rather be, his life coach or his quarterback coach.
You have that?
Yeah.
Can you play it now?
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Would you rather be Johnny Manziel's QB coach or Johnny Manziel's life coach?
I'm going to bet you Johnny has some fun.
Yeah.
I'm going life coach.
And I think you and I would have the same approach. You know what, Johnny? Don't slow down.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Keep it going.
Keep it going.
Keep it going.
Jack it up a couple notches. You can go even higher.
Turn it up a little bit.
Johnny, now's your time. Run into the middle of the game completely naked. Do it.
Go.
It'll be so cool.
You think it will?
It'll be so cool.
I'm dropping these pants right now.
It's doing
great. Yeah. Go, Johnny.
That's pretty good.
These are good life coaches to have, too. If they're encouraging you to do something like that, you're going to get a lot of publicity.
I'll tell you what. If I were young, it would be fun to hang out with him if you're a single guy.
Yeah, probably. Well, I don't know. I might die. I'll just get that feeling.
You'd have to pull back about, you know, let's say you start partying, because this guy's not going to start partying, you know, if he's going out for the night, he's going out late and staying up until dawn. But he's probably going to start partying about 4 in the afternoon. He's put in a 12-hour party shift. He's going to, you got to pull out about halfway through, though. You know what, if you're starting at 4 and you're going to go to 4, you really got to start pulling it back a little around 10, or you'll never survive. Because he has got this down. There are some people who know how to party, and their bodies are conditioned for it. They'll break down at some point, but not the next party.
Yeah, I don't want to be up at 10 the next morning still, just passing out.
No, I've only had one or two nights like that, and I think I told you I was numb from the belly button down after 7 Boilermakers. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk to Larry Fitzgerald Sr. We'll talk to him about AP. We'll talk to him about Larry Fitzgerald Jr. And Larry Fitzgerald Jr. coming in next week for a gala event to help raise money in honor of his mom, who passed away several years ago of cancer. And he does this every year, and they've raised a good amount of money and have been able to help a lot of groups with it. It's a great event that they're going to have, and we'll talk to Larry Fitzgerald Sr. about that when we return.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zepp.
If you are still wanting to buy a turkey license for the state of Minnesota, if you're thinking about just casually doing it the next day or that evening, I would not wait that long.
I'm not even going to buy a license, because it doesn't make any sense to me, because if I'm wearing camouflage, the game warden won't know who I am anyway.
Yeah.
Do you see me?
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Inconceivable! What's inconceivable? Nothing's inconceivable. Until we say it is, or something like that.
Surely you can't be serious.
Yeah, I'm serious. Hey, I wanted to give you some background on this. On next Friday, April 10th, the Carol Fitzgerald Memorial Fund will celebrate its 11th year honoring and remembering the spirit of Carol Fitzgerald, the mother of Larry Fitzgerald Jr., Larry Fitzgerald Sr.'s wife, and it is a great fundraising cause. It's going to take place at the Minneapolis Events Center. It's in St. Anthony, Maine. It'll be hosted by Larry Fitzgerald Jr., Pro Bowler, Minnesota native, Arizona Cardinals. From the number 4, Angela Davis is going to be the master of ceremonies. And Larry Fitzgerald Jr., he's the eldest son of Carol and Larry Sr. And for 11 years, they've done a great job raising money to help out others. Over the last 10 years... the Carol Fitzgerald Memorial Fund has awarded almost $500,000 in grants to and the great thing is it's spread out to a number of groups: Breast Cancer Prevention and Support, African American Breast Cancer Alliance, Youth Program at Sabathani Community Center, the Page Education Foundation, and there's half a dozen to a dozen more groups that have benefited from this. So it's something, if you're interested and you wanted to look into it, you can go to the cfmemorialfund.eventbrite.com and get more information about it. We hope to be joined by Larry in a moment or two. But one thing I wanted to go back to, we started the show, we started talking about a bit of news that is rippling here to Minnesota. Tony Romo took a pay cut. He reduced by $13 million the cap space that the Cowboys have. Coincidentally, that's pretty damn close to the cap money you would need to sign Adrian Peterson. And if he were to go to Dallas, he would restructure his deal, and they would save even more cap space than that. I think it puts him back in play that he's going to wind up there. That they will find a way to get him in Dallas. Because I think now that this is out, we will hear from Ben Dagra, his agent, or somehow AP will tweet or tell somebody how much his wife hates the idea of coming back. So they're going to try to force the trade to Dallas. I don't think it's ever been about leaving Minnesota and going anywhere but Dallas. Because he's looking at it. He knows he's 30 years old. He knows that his time, you know, if you think of it in terms of one of those hourglasses, the time is draining from the clock for him in order to make and make it to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. So I think that this is what his plan has been all along. And I think he's known that about Romo, that he was going to reduce his salary cap.
Yeah, apparently Romo even told DeMarco Murray that he planned on restructuring his contract, and Murray still got an offer from Philly, probably a bigger offer than the Cowboys ever would have given him.
See, but I think DeMarco Murray, after leading the NFL in yardage, I think he felt greatly disrespected by the Cowboys because they didn't come out with what he thought was a real good, solid offer, and they didn't really show him much love. And I also think they knew they beat that guy they beat the hell out of him with the number of times they had him carry the ball. And I don't think there's no way they're going to go into the season without a premier running back. And they're not looking at, well, we'll get one in the draft. I think all along, their whole plan is to get Adrian Peterson.
Whoa, whoa, premier running back? They signed Darren McFadden. You tell me that's not good enough?
Darren McFadden is probably one of the NFL's all-time great fantasy picks on draft day, and then he just fizzles. Well, he's never lived up to what his potential was.
I've never picked him once.
Well, a lot of people loved him because he had speed and looked like, oh, I'll have a great year this year. He'd get hurt or do something, screw something up. He's been one of the, in terms of fantasy football, he's been a bust most of the time. He did have a couple of years where he had some nice touchdown numbers, I think, but he's never been much of anything.
And it seemed like every year when you headed into the NFL draft, not fantasy drafts, there'd be a running back in there and say, this is the best running back since this guy. And for McFadden, it was, this is the best guy since Adrian Peterson, which I found funny.
No, it wasn't.
They were a year or two apart.
No, yeah.
He's the best since then.
No, that's ridiculous. But I really think it's going to happen. And apparently, you know, there's a story out today. CBSSports.com has a story. A former agent wrote, a guy named Joel Corey, former sports agent. And he's saying that, here's the line. Much of the 2012 NFL MVP's displeasure reportedly is with team executive Kevin Warren, who was promoted from general counsel to chief operating officer in February. And Peterson's under the impression that Warren was working behind the scenes with the NFL to keep him off the field for most of the 2014 season when he went on the commissioner's exempt list. The one thing that AP and his people around him, like this Ben Dagra, they seem to overlook or don't want to acknowledge is, why was he in that position to go on a commissioner's exempt list in the first place? He beat his kid with a switch. And that's what put him there. There was a legal entanglement at the time. If he hadn't done that, he would have played. There wouldn't even be an issue now. And can you have a problem with anyone who says, well, that's a bad thing to do? I certainly can. I mean, Kevin Warren was sticking up. Kevin Warren also, if you recall, he and his wife donated $1 million to a hospital to help children.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the guys, everyone I hope has a soft spot for kids, but there's no denying that Kevin Warren and his family, you know, they're stepping up by putting money out, $1 million to help families with children that have debilitating diseases. So clearly he's got it's hard to say not everyone has a soft spot for a kid. I hope everyone does. But that, that's something that he certainly is looking out for kids.
And all AP really needs to do, or needed to do, is take a look around the league and look at everybody else that's getting into trouble and not playing football games. You're not the only one out there. People are getting punished for things they've done, be it Greg Hardy, yeah. Ray McDonald was out for a little bit. Josh Gordon had been dealing with it all year. He was supposed to be gone for the entire season. So he's not the only one. Why should he feel like...
Yeah, it's not like, it's well, Kevin Warren wasn't on all those teams, and these guys also were spending time out. Here's the one thing. Here's what he should maybe look at. If he's so pissed off at Kevin Warren, maybe you should thank Kevin Warren, and here's the reason. Because if Kevin Warren was the one who pushed for you to get on the commissioner's exempt list, that means he pushed for you to be put on a list where you get paid your entire salary. He did not suffer financially. And if you take a step back and look at it, he may have extended Adrian Peterson's career or this commissioner's exempt list because his body certainly is healed if there was any issues with it.
Yeah, he was coming off the reattaching the groin surgery.
He's got a new lease on, you know, he's got another year to his career potentially.
And I'm sure he's been still working out a little bit, keeping himself in
shape. Oh, I don't think there's any doubt the guy's in shape.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a workout fiend. And he's got a lot of natural ability. I mean, he's, no doubt, he's one of the greatest running backs or athletes in the NFL, but he screwed up, and now he's paying a bit of a price. But in the end, I think he's going to wind up getting what he wants. This thing with Dallas tells me the fact that they opened $13 million in cap space, he's going to wind up in Dallas. And we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're not going to wind up. We'll be on the phone with Pete Wagner, and we're going to be on the phone with one of his co-hosts on Saturday mornings on The Ticket doing a baseball show. Pete Wagner's doing it with Gene Larkin and... our guest with Pete today, Al Newman, former Twin. You produced them, right, the other day?
Oh, yeah.
And you told me that you had a laugh riot. You had a great time.
A lot of fun with
a lot of
guys.
Fun. He's never said it's been a lot of fun to be with me, but a lot of fun with them. Okay, pal. We'll be right back with Pete Wagner and Al Newman. See you soon.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.
Hopefully they like your walk-up music. We are joined by Pete Wagner and Al Newman. Al, of course, a former Twin. They do On Deck Radio Saturdays with Gene Larkin on 105 The Ticket from 11 to noon. And, well, Pete, Al, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Just trying to hang on. This wind is whooping it up out, pal.
Oh, is it starting? We're supposed to get some bad weather. Is it starting to hit now?
Well, I know the wind's pretty good out here in Savage.
Well, now, hey, Al, let me ask you, did you have walk-up music when you played? Did they do that then?
No, you know what? I was telling Pete a story that, about that of Game 7 in 91 when Jack Morris walked out to Marvin Gaye, "Let's Get It On," and we went crazy in the dugout because normally the organist normally played when we took the field.
Oh, all right, because I didn't recall, but it's not something, quite honestly, I don't really pay attention even when they do walk-up music now.
I don't think Tom Kelly would have stood for that. Hey, hold on, my music's not playing yet.
Yes, Tom would want music every time he stepped on the mound to go visit a pitcher, wouldn't he? Yeah, he would have loved that. That'd be great. Now, Al and Pete, joined by Pete Wagner and Al Newman. Hellboy here, David Helmer, he's raving about what a great time he had. It was like a laugh riot on Saturday with Al and Pete, he loves you too, but he was saying Al and Gene were telling some great stories and just having a wonderful time.
Yeah, I had a blast. Go ahead, Pete. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. No worries, Al. I'd say it's a great show from my perspective, Al. I've hosted a lot of different shows, and bringing you and Gene into the program with the knowledge base that you guys have, not only as players, but now as coaches and managers in the game. This isn't just, you know, opining. This is really insider stuff that you don't get anywhere. And I think David and I were just, this, for me, I was just flipping up balls on a tee, and you guys were crushing them to the gaps. It was great.
Yeah, I had a nice time. You know, Gene, and as we mentioned, we spent quite a few years, five, matter of fact, sitting on the bench and observing and watching Tom Kelly manage us to a couple of world championships. It was a lesson to be learned, and both he and I are now taking it to the youth of baseball players in the area.
Hey, you know, Al, when you look at your career, and you did spend a lot of it as a reserve, but in 89, you had 521 plate appearances, and the numbers, you know, obviously you were never a pay, you had one home run in your career, but 25 stolen bases, that's not too shabby.
No, not at all. I tell you, guy, Eddie got hurt that year, and I had an opportunity to play about 40 to 50 games you know, straight pretty much. And I'll be honest with you guys, when I got to the end of that tunnel, I was ready to go back and sit on the bench. I was working way too hard for the money. But no, you know, being an NBA player is quite taxing, and it takes more, you know, people think it's just a game and you're just staying there, but it does wear on you, and you've got to physically be in condition to endure 162.
Hey, Al, you would remember Al Newman. We're talking to him and Pete Wagner doing on-deck radio on Saturday mornings on the Ticket. You and Gene, were there any other reserve players that were on both teams?
Yeah, the third guy that was there for the five-year span was Randy Bush.
That's right.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's an assistant GM in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, unless Theo rooted him out of there.
That actually, I mean, when you think about it, what are the odds of that, to have three guys? You're talking about a span of four seasons. You know, in between, or three in between, that would still be with the team in that same role. It tells you a lot of things about the three of you. The three of you had value, and Tom Kelly knew what he was getting out of all three of you.
Yeah, most definitely, and we laughed on Saturday about that, to the effect that, you know, we pretty much knew our rotation, we knew we were playing the day games, and that was for sure. So Thursday and Sunday we were going to play, and then it was just a matter of matchups, those other games, if Skip wanted to play lefty-righty combo because I was a switch hitter. But, you know, getting to that, this year's squad, the excitement for me is the fact that they've got three or four switch hitters, and Paul has the ability to do that with players that are of quality and that can hold up. Both Santana and Escobar really, I think, make a difference with this club if they're both starting.
Santana could be a lot of fun to watch. Now, I want to ask both of you guys the same question in lieu of what day it is. Pete and Al, what's the best April's Day prank you ever pulled or ever were victimized by?
Well, you know, I have a hard time telling jokes because I give away the punchline and I can't keep a straight face when I'm trying to pull somebody's leg. So I don't think I've ever really pulled one off. I think back in my day, I'll never forget that one Sports Illustrated article that was talking about somebody throwing 100-some-odd
Sid
miles
Finch.
An hour. And at that time, I was a young player, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, is that what they throw in the big league?
I think it was Sid Finch was the name of the guy.
I just know, man, it was a talk in high school baseball, I can tell you that.
Now, George Plimpton wrote it. That's what it was. It was The Curious Case of Sid Finch. Yeah, I remember reading that. It was more than 30, about 30 years ago. But yeah, I think it was exactly 30 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, I was aging myself there.
Yeah. How about you, Pete?
Yeah, I'm a little bit like Al about that I give away the punchline too, so I'm not too good. I'm kind of like in Dumb and Dumber when I do they do the old How's Your Burger. So that didn't work for me there. And you know what? I haven't seen many over the years of very good pranks. So I'm really weak in that.
Well, you know what? I did see one, and I was like thrown aback. It was at the Royal Stadium, and you know, in between innings, you know, the video camera goes around and it shows the crowd, and it shows this guy on the concourse, and all of a sudden he stops and he drops to a knee, and she covers her mouth and she's shaking her head no, and he sticks his hand up and he asks for her hand in marriage, and she slaps his face and pours beer on him, and the whole crowd just went, oh no, that was the best I've ever seen at a baseball park.
Were you sure it was a prank?
Yeah, well, he took a little bit of heat because they never came back and showed them making up, and then a couple of days later it came out that it was staged by
the team?
Kansas City Royals crew.
That's actually pretty good. Now, I won't go off on a tangent with it, but I don't know if you heard with Bruce Irvin, the Seattle Seahawks